Hi, I'm Rebecca Wurzbrock with the Agile Alliance, here with Sarah Bacca, who gave an experience report 2 days ago, was it? And your report was about how do you assess and help people grow in their jobs and Scrum Masters. Why don't you say a little bit about your company and your job and role?
Currently, I am serving as the people leader for a group of Scrum Masters at Express Scripts, a pharmacy benefits manager, and the team that I have is the Scrum Masters that are in specialty pharmacy. So we are helping patients who have chronic illnesses or are very ill with cancer, that type, the special drugs that you can't just walk into a regular drugstore and purchase.
So how many Scrum Masters are in that group?
17, right.
So you're the people manager of those Scrum Masters.
Right.
And you wanted to make sure that people had feedback in order to improve?
Right. It's tricky for us because most of our Scrum Masters are contractors.
Oh, so, we didn't hear about that.
Yeah, we didn't really get into that during the experience report. But I have three employees. I just lost one because she was promoted, so that's a good bit. And the rest are contractors. And so I'm not legally allowed to give career growth and coach them to be better career-wise, and yet I also have a responsibility to help create a cohesive team of peers who can work together and learn from each other and grow as a network, just not like you individually for your career.
Okay.
Allowed. So we have to kind of dance around what we have to have to be teamy, and then what legally we're allowed to do.
Okay. You started out with this goal of improving and understanding and getting an assessment of where people were.
Right.
And how effective their teams were. So there's an interesting journey that you went through in that, asking teams and then figuring out maybe teams don't know what good is.
Exactly. Yeah, when I first started, I was a Scrum Master and I had two teams. And the two teams that I had been given were very challenging, where all of the developers were offshore, and then we had a vendor manager onshore who was in charge of them, and then trying to get as much collaboration as possible and, you know, regular Scrum Master stuff with a challenging team and enjoying the challenges of that. And then in January 2017, I was brought on as an employee and promoted to senior manager of Scrum Masters in specialty. And when I first moved into that role, I had worked in other places where we had people who had toxic personalities, weren't capable of doing their jobs, that type of thing. And leadership wouldn't do anything about it. So I knew when I moved into my role that I wanted to have some way of knowing who was doing well and who wasn't, so that I could make sure that our patients, whose lives we're literally saving, are getting the best software they're getting, and therefore the Scrum Masters are supporting in the best possible ways and figuring out, you know, I don't want to say bad and good because it's not that simple, but, you know, like which Scrum Masters are serving their teams in the better ways and the less great ways. How do you assess that? It's tough. The company was doing something they called an Agile Maturity Assessment back when I was a Scrum Master that was 2 hours in a room virtually with a spreadsheet, and it took forever, and it was a nightmare, and everyone hated it. It was hard to get people to do it. And when they recognized that didn't work, then they came up with a survey that went individually to the team members, developers, testers, product owners, that was a survey they could do on Confluence that was just 15 questions and just took a couple of minutes because you were doing it individually. But the questions were things like, are you making people awesome?
The answer is, sure, I'm great.
Exactly.
Great. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they didn't understand what good could look like. Like, they didn't understand that collaboration, what it could look like, would be us talking to each other all the time in a team room, collaborating, working together, testers and developers and product owners from the very beginning. To them, they were like, oh, nobody bothers me, and then I can assign a JIRA ticket to a tester, and so collaboration is great. That's a very different idea than a coach might have. Everything 5-5-5.
Everything's good.
Yeah, everything's
life
great.
Is good.
Yeah.
So doing that kind of surface assessment when you don't really know what standards are or what could be, possibilities, not standards, but what could be, is like smiley face, are they happy kind of ratings.
So it didn't really help very much. So if locking everybody in a room with someone who did know what good like didn't work, and then having them answer individually when they didn't know what good like didn't work, what's another option we could try? And so I work with three other people, leaders. Together, one of us had the idea, and then we kind of ran with it, of a assessment based on the 12 Agile principles, because that's the bedrock of everything we do. Mm-hmm. And it's how you show the Agile mindset with behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then have an arrow going up for the team is improving, sideways if they're stable, staying the same, and then down if things are getting worse. And red, green, or yellow is a kind of category for easy, visible to see trends over time. And then the idea of a proxy measure, where I can't measure a scrum master and how good they're doing because it's so contextual, and what might be fantastic for team A would be horrible for team B. But if I can measure the team and how they're doing on these 12 Agile principles over time, and also have a coaching plan for the scrum master to see how they're helping the team to get better, to get more towards green, then that gives me some really valuable data to frame a conversation between the people leader and the scrum master for how the scrum master is helping the team and how the team is growing and learning.
So you're still asking the teams questions?
Some scrum masters just answer it on their own, and some answer
okay.
it with the team. It depends on the maturity of the team.
Okay.
It's like for the example of a team who thinks that I'm working on something in a silo and handing it to a tester, and that's great. If the scrum master is new to the team and maybe they're working on something else, or they just don't have the mindset where they can even think about collaboration yet, it really depends on where the team is at. So we leave that up to the discretion of the scrum master. Some of them do include the team and go through that and answer it, and some of them the team, like, oh, this Agile stuff is a waste of time, I don't want to even talk about it. Like, you wouldn't want to go take a survey with that team because they might be frustrated.
But you're also coaching the scrum masters themselves, so you
right.
know some of their challenges.
Right. They think that pitching over the fence is fantastic, and to me that's not. Then I can say, that's interesting. So you feel like this is green. Can you say more about that? And then they can give me, I'll ask for, what do you see in here when this is going well? And then they'll tell me that. I'd be like, okay, that doesn't sound like going well to me. This is what I think.
So it seems like this assessment was a help for you as a coaching tool as well.
Absolutely, yes. And that is the real value. It's not the artifact that we create, just like practically everything else we do in an Agile environment. Like, you might have estimates for stories, but the value isn't the number that you have on the story. The value is the argument you had over what number that story was and the conversation to help you understand. So it's that conversation that helps say, what does good look like? What's going on with you? How can I support you as your leader? That conversation is what's so valuable.
So were some of the Agile principles contributed more? I mean, are they all equal
mm-hmm.
in
oh,
their value
really
to
question.
The coaching?
We don't have them weighted or anything. The one that I found the most interesting, I think, was daily face-to-face communication.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the scrum masters put green for that. When we have teams that are offshore with the product owner usually in one office in the U.S. and the scrum master in a different office in the U.S. So that's nowhere near green in my mind. Like, even if they were talking constantly, if we're all in different physical locations, it's very difficult to mm-hmm. get to green, in my opinion, because you just can't like turn around and talk to somebody. So I was really interested to see some scrum masters putting that as green and saying, yeah, we talk all the time. And me being, is it the same as if you were physically in a team room looking at each other's faces and saying, you know, we may never get to green in that category, and that's a business decision based on ROI and, you know, way above our pay grade, but like, let's at least admit that this is not the ideal and that we're mitigating that.
So it's interesting that people probably have the Lake Wobegon effect, where we're all above average. Sure, we're doing fine.
Exactly.
But it's okay because of the situation to be mm-hmm. in a not the top. But that's probably a tough thing psychologically.
Yeah.
For people to recognize about their team that they're a scrum master for.
Right. And I think that's one of the most challenging things about the scrum master / team role, is that you have to recognize the context in which you're serving and the system around the team. You can't just go in like a bull in a china shop and run around and tell people you're doing this wrong and this is what you need to do. Like, that always backfires, at least anytime I've tried it. And recognizing that for this team, this is as good as it's going to get. And so we'll focus on small micro improvements and helping the team own that, with the scrum master exposing it. And if they're not ready to fix it, then you just expose. Like, that's our job. And that's why it's so hard to measure, because if the best a team can ever get is a release every 2 months because of the technology that they're working in and the environment that they're working in, then, you know, maybe that 2 months is better than every 6 months. Yay, call that a win. It's so contextual, but depending on the environment and just not just the technical environment, but the cultural environment. Like, what support do you have from your engineering managers?
Right. So I'm just going to throw this question out for you because, you know, some people go, well, why do we need Scrum Masters once we understand how to do Scrum? Mm-hmm.
That has been a really big challenge in our organization, especially because our leadership asks that question frequently. And so we're hopeful that by using the 12 Agile Principles assessment, that we can use that as data to support why it's valuable to have Scrum Masters. Because you can see with a Scrum Master and with their coaching plan, the team was doing this. And because of the Scrum Master, now their cycle time has shortened, their quality has improved, whatever metrics you can connect to something that the Scrum Master has been working on for the last couple of months, then I can prove, see, this Scrum Master is bringing value to this team. If you take them off, this team would not be improving in this way.
So I can also see, though, that if you have organizational changes or cultural changes that happen, like some of the work gets assigned to another group because things like this happen, right, outside of your control, that those indicators might change, not in a way that you, a direction that you would like, but you're not going to blame the Scrum Master for that either. So how do you counter the organizational flex around the context?
That's part of why the conversations are so important in conjunction with the assessment that we have, because you can't just say, team is doing this, check, 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 and then three developers are taken off, and then three are added from another team because they've changed priorities, you know.
And they aren't onboarded yet or whatever,
Or just the engineering manager thinks, oh, well, I've moved three resources out, three resources in. Velocity should stay the same. Everything should be exactly the same. This should be easy. And the Scrum Master knows we have to re-team. We have to get to know each other. You just took away the person who had 10 years experience and gave me somebody who graduated college last week. Like, this is not the same. And because we're having those conversations and those coaching plans over time, we could say, now the team has gone to yellow, and this is why, and so this is the way I'll be coaching.
So do you record those environmental changes so that you have a could correlate those things?
Yeah,
too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And in that comments box is where they would put information like that about, like, why did this change?
Mm-hmm.
And the first one takes a long time because you've got to really think about it. But then if you're doing that, I think our current cadence is quarterly, but we're hoping to get to every other month once we get into a rhythm.
Okay.
Then you can say, this was green and now it's yellow trending down because of all of these shenanigans that happened, and so this is how I'm coaching this is a brand new team, so now we're going to get to know each other again, or whatever the Scrum Master is doing.
So while you're doing this to improve teams and Scrum Master working, it could also be a diagnostic for the organizational churn, too.
Yeah, and that's one thing I didn't talk about in my experience report or my talk that I wish I had, because someone was asking me later, is we do have a plan where we have someone from each subdomain having a conversation with all of the Scrum Masters to track things at the subdomain level, so kind of rolling up. If I have five of those TAP assessments, rolling them up into one and then saying, okay, systemically, this is a problem. This is appearing on every single team, that developers are being measured by how many story points they do individually, so they're stopping to collaborate. And the director who made that decision and who's measuring that isn't listening to me. So now that I know that this is systemic for maybe my group and another group, because we all report up, now I can escalate this to our senior director, and the director will have a conversation, you know, at that level, and then perhaps they'll listen to that person, whereas they wouldn't listen to me.
So you really are a diagnostic. Your people leaders, Scrum coach, coaches of coaches, are really serving as an indicator that you can feed to executives and
Exactly. So in addition to how it helps me to frame those conversations, so they're not just a gripe session or look at all I'm doing, I'm so great because you're my boss and I want to prove that to you. Now they're a constructive conversation around how things are actually going, and then I can show that to my leaders and they can show that to whomever the stakeholders are to show the growth over time.
Yeah. You've had this position for what, 2 years?
A year and a half now.
A year and a half now. So what do you see going forward, what you're going to do?
I've been learning a lot, of course, at this conference, and I got the chance to see a lady named Caitlin Walker, who invented systemic modeling, which uses clean language to uncover the invisible architecture underneath people's thoughts. And so I've actually taken a few classes with her on that same thing. And so what I'm thinking about now is how can I take these tools that we're using and combine them with clean language and systemic modeling to help the teams develop models for when they're working at their best and how we can use these tools together to help the Scrum Masters influence the teams more and to use those as tools.
That sounds like a whole nother experience report
in
the waiting.
I'm
mean,
really
seriously.
Excited.
So are you getting your other colleagues to do that with you as well?
Yeah, definitely. I started a community of practice for systemic modeling and clean language a few months ago, and then I was busy writing this report, and we've had a lot of organizational changes that's taken up a lot of time, but I always have to have some little side project I'm excited about, this is my next thing that I can be excited about while I'm approving timesheets and
that just has to get done.
Right, exactly.
Well, so you also had some other, besides this TAP, this assessment, you also had some other things that you put in place, right?
Right. We have what we call a servant leadership survey. That's a survey that goes out to the team about their Scrum Master. So that to take place, of course, ideally, you'd have a type of 360 review. Mm-hmm. And we do want a culture where people will give feedback directly. If I have a problem with you, then I need to come to you. Mm-hmm. But this survey gives us a quickie check on how things are going. But it has the same complexity as the TAP assessment does in the coaching plan, that it's so contextual. We have to use them in conjunction with each other. You can't just look at one and go, okay, everything's green and it's fine. Because a team might rate their Scrum Master very highly and say they love working with them because their Scrum Master is a friend and they play table hockey all day. And you can't, and they might not like their Scrum Master because their Scrum Master's challenging them. And that doesn't feel good when somebody's questioning the way you've been doing things and making you think about how you could be better. So we have to take all of that put together to recognize how those scores actually turn into a story, just like how the TAP assessment turns into a story told with numbers. And then we have a couple of support things like our community of practice, where people, Scrum Masters, that's how we can create that sense of community for folks without them all being employees, so that even if I'm a contractor, I have the opportunity to talk with my peers about Kanban, for example, and learn
new techniques,
cross-pollinate ideas, ensure that we have a shared understanding of how things work in our specific context or come up with new ideas together.
Mm-hmm. There's one takeaway that we should definitely talk about. A diagnostic is not a measure. It's a set of information, but you have to think about it in context.
Absolutely.
If you boil anything down to a number or improvement, that's just not...
It doesn't work. Our systems are too complex. And for me, I think when I was first in this role and started looking, I wanted like that one specific number that I could say you're doing a good job. Because I wanted to be like the one who knows everything and I'm the person, I can tell you if you're doing a good job. Like there's, you know, that strokes your ego a little bit.
In control of everything.
Exactly.
I knew what was going on.
Exactly, because I'm this brilliant leader whom everyone adores. And I've learned that that doesn't work at all. And in fact, it causes people to hide things if I'm trying to judge them and measure them.
So it's a tool. That's all it is in that. You know, it's a point for a conversation.
Exactly. And both of them are okay together, conversations and this assessment. But together, like, that's where the magic happens. And the cool thing about that is that a lot of times when we go over them again after some time, the Scrum Master's like, I forgot that we were ever like that. Oh, my gosh, we're doing so much better. And then
that's
you can celebrate it.
Yeah.
Because you forget because you're stuck in the mud, you know, that journey. And then you can look back and be like, whoa, I totally forgot.
Over time, we've built on this way of working. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if I have a VP who's saying, what value do Scrum Masters bring? I can say, well, let me tell you, back in March, you know, whatever. Then they can get some understanding of the number and the story put together to tell a narrative about how this team is improving and how that's helping our patients and how that's turning into dollars.
Side benefit that you probably didn't expect.
Right, yeah.
Well, thanks, Sarah. I've enjoyed our conversation and hopefully we'll see what happens with the next experience.
Thank you.